Rabotai, we are studying Parashat Re'eh through the eyes of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ben Attar, Alav Shalom, Zechuto Yagen Aleinu, Amen. Parashat begins, Re'eh Anochi Noten Lefnechem Hayom, Beracha Uklala. So Moshe Rabbeinu is continuing to give his final speech or rebuke in front of the people before he retires. So the pasuk begins re'eh. Re'eh literally means to look or to see. And the question is that normally when you're giving a speech, the right word you would use is shema, listen. The point of the speech is that it enters the ears. Whether they're seeing it or not is a different story. But the point is to hear it. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu begin his speech with the word re'eh? Furthermore, why does he talk in the singular tense? He's talking to hundreds of thousands of people. Even if he wants to use the word re'eh, he should say re'u. I mean, he's talking to the masses. And furthermore, the word anochi. Anochi obviously is referring to himself. Now, what does he have to mention that word at all? I mean, first of all, we have an easier word, that's ani. But he uses a strong word, anochi, as if he's talking about himself. And it sounds like he's not talking about himself, he's talking musar to the people. So from this, the Rabbi Kadosh comes along and says something that made Moshe Rabbeinu's final speech quite effective. In order for a speech to be effective and heard to the people have to believe that the person who's talking knows what he's talking about. But if the people say, what does he know about this topic? So they're going to discount it. He's going to tell us, he never experienced it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Let him go give the speech to somebody else. He can't fool us. It's like what it says by Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech wrote the book of Kohelet, so the book begins, Devre Kohelet ben David, Melech Yerushalayim. It gives us a bio of King Solomon. It's because of Kohelet, the son of David, the king of Yerushalayim. Whereas when he wrote his book Shir HaShirim, it just says Shir HaShirim Asher LeShlomo. The book that was written by Shlomo, it doesn't tell us who he was and too much about him. The Mefarshim ask why. Why in Kohelet we need the introduction? And the explanation is because in Kohelet, he's coming to give Musar. So the people come and say, who's here to give us Musar? Who is he thinking he is over here to come and preach, tell us what to do? So first they have to tell us that he's qualified. He's Kohelet. This is a man that used to gather thousands of people when he used to come to talk. Thousands of people would come in a kahal. Could everybody be wrong? Could all those people that would come to hear him all be fooled? Number two, he has Zechut Avot. He's Ben David. He comes from a very, very high pedigree. And therefore, he's credible. He's not just some fly-by-night that just showed up. Ben David, he has Zechut Avot. And Melech Yerushalayim. He's a very, very wealthy man. He's the king of Yerushalayim. And therefore, if he's going to come along and start telling the people, Havel HaBalim, all the things of this world are nonsense, and it's vanities and it's a waste of time, they can't say, well, what does he know? He never experienced money. He never experienced Olam Hazeh. He doesn't know what glory is. So therefore they come and say, no, he knew very well. He was Melech Yerushalayim. He was a king. And we know that Shlomo was one of the most wealthiest men that ever lived. So if he's going to come along and say, Havel HaBalim, nobody was richer than him. So therefore it gives him credibility. And therefore his words fall on not deaf ears, but attentive ears. So Moshe, and when he writes the book of Shir HaShirim, there's no rebuke over there. So nobody cares. When somebody's giving you compliments, nobody cares your credibility and nobody cares where you came from. As long as you're telling them that they're great and they're tzaddikim and they have olam haba, doesn't matter. So therefore, Shir HaShirim, when it comes to singing songs and praise, Hashem Shlomo, nobody wants to know who's your father, how much money you have, where did you come from. But God forbid, give somebody rebuke. Now already, you better prove yourself that you're the worthy to come and tell somebody and criticize that they're wrong. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to come along and he's going to tell them, Rabotai, you have to despise Olam Hazeh. You have to give little credit to anything of the physical realm. And you have to know that the main thing is and the priority is Olam Haba, Olam Alion, the upper worlds. Now Moshe Rabbeinu knows that if you can give such a speech like that, they can come along and say, here he comes. This is a man that never enjoyed or never experienced what Olam Hazeh is. He never tasted it. He never had even an attraction towards it. And he's going to come and tell us, maybe if he would have some of it, then he would come along and maybe change his tune. Maybe he would come along and change his idea. It's like when the rabbi gets up and says, oh, you shouldn't drive this type of car. He says, because he can't afford it. That's why he gets up and tells us he can't drive such a car. But if he could afford it, he would have two of them himself. So therefore, the Rami Kadosh says, v'nir'eh shakabanahi ki lefi sheba lavchiram be'olam ma'alyon ulhamit kol hatovot olam hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu had a dual purpose in the speech. Number one, it's in order to encourage the Jewish people to choose the upper world, which is the world of Olam Haba, and number two, to diminish their in their eyes the benefits of this world. Now we want the people to consider his words credible. So the one that's giving the rebuke has to have the same two qualities. Ehad, number one. First, he has to know what Olam Haba is. You're going to tell me what Olam Haba? Were you ever there? Did you ever experience? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu could say, I was there. I was there for 40 days and 40 nights. I was with the Malachim. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. You do not know what type of pleasure this is. I could talk because I experienced it. And if you're going to come along and say, yeah, you experienced the Olam Haba. It's very nice. Olam Elyon. But how can you compare it to Olam Hazeh? Maybe the pleasures of Olam Hazeh are much more pleasurable than Olam Haba. So the Olam HaKadosh comes along and says, "Ah, ki yomru en omrim lemi shelo ra'a yabo v'yagid." A guy who never experienced it, he's going to come along and tell us, "Shi'im ayat to'em." If Moshe Rabbeinu would have tasted ta'ameh hana'ot gidulat ha'olam hazeh, if he would have tasted some of the flavors of olam hazeh v'kinyanav and its acquisitions, v'ta'anugav and its delights, v'ayam mam'iso, he would not despise it so much. U'bocher b'zulato, maybe he would choose it. So that's why the pasuk comes along and says that we know Moshe Rabbeinu actually was very wealthy. Moshe Rabbeinu was probably the wealthiest man of his time. You remember when they came and they told Moshe, God told him, Pesol Lecha, to chisel the Luchot. And the Luchot were made out of sapphire, which is a very, very precious stone. And God said, when you chisel, there's going to be some of the stone that's going to come off. Who's going to keep those shearings of the stone? The Pasuk says, Pesol Lecha, you keep it. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very, very wealthy. And he had all the money, all the assets that a person would, and still he came along and said, I had both. I have Olam Hazeh and I have Olam Haba. And therefore I can tell you I experienced the pleasure of this and that, and I know what they are. So nobody can come along and tell me, sour grapes. Because he doesn't have, so therefore he's coming along to tell us that we should all be in the same boat as him. Misery loves company. But if he would know what it is, he would maybe give a different song. So therefore the Pasuk begins, Re'eh Anochi. Before he gives a speech, he says, Rabotai, look at me. Look at the one that's giving you the speech. I am the one who knows what Olam Hazeh is, and I am the one that knows Olam Haba is. And I'm telling you, I saw both, and I understand what both are, and I'm telling you that Olam Haba and Olam Elyon is a much better pursuit than Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh pleasure is zero. It's nonsense. It's a waste. Can I get the pleasures of Olam Haba? And nobody can come along and say, who's he to tell us? So that's what the introduction of his speech is. Re'e Anuchi, look at me. Lastly, the Ruach HaKadosh says, but why is it in the singular, Re'e? It should say Re'u. And the explanation is that when you have a lot of people and they're seeing something, everybody sees it a different way. You could have two, three people or 10 people, they go to a class, a shi'ur, and everybody comes out and they hear either what they want to hear, or they hear, the points that spoke to them. So when they come out, what happened today in the class? He says, oh, the rabbi said this. The guy says, oh, the rabbi said that. Oh, so you see a lot of different viewpoints. And even sometimes the viewpoints are contradictory to each other. Because again, we know the person hears what he wants to hear. But sometimes the message is crystal clear, where even though you have thousands of people listening to it, the message is so obvious that it's one opinion, that everybody comes out saying We got it. It's A. And that's it. Nothing else to talk about. It was so clear to the people that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most qualified to praise the living that brings you to Olam Ma'alyon and to diminish the life of physicality and pleasure, because they knew he was worthy and they knew that he experienced both, and therefore they knew that he was the most qualified. And therefore the Pasuk says, Re'eh, what I'm saying now is unanimous. Nobody's going to be able to come along and say, it's not true, it's not right, it's a fake. No, Re'eh. In this case over here, the millions of people that heard it were like one in that they perceived that Moshe Rabbeinu's credibility and qualifications for giving this talk are definitely valid. And the lesson for us is that we must take the Musar from somebody that tasted both. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, listen, take it from me. I was upstairs and I was downstairs. I had the best of upstairs and I had the best of downstairs. Take it from somebody that knows upstairs is much more pleasurable. And therefore, don't exchange the pleasures of Olam Ha'inyon for the ephemeral and temporary pleasures of Olam Hazeh. That's a message that, although given 3,000 years ago, still could resonate till today. And we don't have too many people that can give such a speech. We don't have too many people that enjoyed complete success in both worlds, the Olam Ha'inyon and Olam Ha'tahton. And therefore, we hear it as documented in the Torah, so we come along and we're reminded by this great wake-up and great Musa. And it could have come at a better time that the Darshanim say on the word Re'eh, Re'eh is Rashei Tevot, Re'eh Elul Higiyah. That's already reminding us that the month of Elul is right around the corner, which is a month already before the High Holidays, which is supposed to put us in the right frame of mind and right perspective. And there's nobody greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, to remind us of our priorities. But although we are physical people, but we should make our main thrust and our main direction and our main energies should be driven towards spiritual pleasures, especially that the physical pleasure will only last for a temporary amount of time. They are finite, but the pleasures that we seek in the spiritual realm, this is already in the highest levels, which will be infinite. In conclusion, there was once that one of the Gedolim, I think it was Rav Leib Steinman, Alav Shalom Zecher Sadiq Levracha, that he was on the plane coming to New York, and I think they were passing over Niagara, and he was reading the Gemara, and they told him, Rebbe, if you look out the window, you'll see Niflaot HaBoreh, you'll see the wonders of the Creator. And he said, I'm looking at the Niflaot HaBoreh. He said, and the Gemara is Niflaot HaBoreh. He said, I don't know, what do I have to look out the window for? I'm seeing Niagara Falls, plus through the eyes of the Talmud Jews. The Hakamim that experienced spiritual pleasure didn't need to look for any other alternatives or substitutions. They understood that they're connected to the real Hana'ah of Olam Ma'alyon. And that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu says, Re'eh Anochi. Before I start, look at me. I have the credentials and I have the right to make this talk, and therefore my talk is worthy to fall on attentive ears. Yom Tov.